God, are you doing something? In America today, he says, I am. I want to tell you honestly today, I do believe that this world is coming apart. I believe this world is unwinding right now. The worldly system that you know of today, I really do believe it's coming apart. The next thing on God's calendar, Jesus Christ is coming at the rapture of the church. The tribulation time will start here on this earth after the rapture of the church of 7 long years of hell here on this earth. Many, many people will be going through the tribulation time. As also Judah, United States, the idea is at the time that Habakkuk was prophesying and also Jeremiah at the same time, the idea was at that time that we are God's chosen people and God will not let anything happen to us that way. At this time of Habakkuk, like I said, the northern tribe had already went into captivity. To show him, and they turn away from God, God is going to bring them back. And we find out our country today. Now, we believe that we are a Christian nation, and a lot of times it makes us mad when you hear someone like that frog that we sitting on our throne today, it's called a president, is squatting over our throne of our country, says that we're not a Christian nation. Yes, we're called a Christian nation no matter what that frog says. And we think today that we have an idea that we are God's little darling Christians in this country. And God's not really going to allow us to have any great difficult troubles in our land. After all, we've been the superpower for many, many years. All we have are the technology, the military power. We are the world power known today. It's called the United States of America. And God will not let anything happen to his little darling children. It's called America. Many people believe that. Many people today, maybe some of you sit here today, believes that we're going to live a degree of tranquility and peace until the rapture. In other words, we're going to have our ups and downs in our economy, but you see, we're looking right now for the good time. We're down in our economy, but we're looking for an upturn in our economy. And we think maybe the upturn is going to come maybe next year, next month. And when it returns back, we're going to go into the good life and the tranquility we've known for so many years. And we're going to keep living this way until the rapture of the church comes, a good life, and the rapture of the church comes, and we'll go up into the rapture and then the tribulation times, and the Christian people won't be here. And I think that's all over with. But I tell you, regardless today, we got our hopes set on Washington, and I hope that we have a new regime. I hope we have a new president and new congressman in the near future. I hope that bunch is voted out of office. I hope a change is made forth in our country, that people believe in Jesus Christ. Because the frog that we have today don't believe in Jesus Christ. But I tell you, even if you have someone that do sets up there, and we get the ones that we think ought to do a good job, and there will not be a change in the problem that we have in our country. Because the problem is not in Washington, the problem is in the heart of the people here in this country. I don't care who we get in office, I don't care how great the person is in office, there will not be a change in the problem we're having in this country until there's a change of the hearts of the people in this country. No matter what party or who they are, yes, there'll be some difference up there, but I'm going to tell you, it won't come from Washington, D.C., it'll come from Jesus Christ of changing our hearts. Yeah, we God's chosen people, all right, as Christians today. But I tell you what, there's coming a day. Today, I'm going to tell you what, there's casting a shadow ahead of time right now before the tribulation time. I believe we can see the shadows. Jesus says these things would be the beginning of sorrow. That means birth pains, ladies. I do believe that we're going to have some birth pains. We're living in that time. We're going to be in that time. If this is the generation before the rapture of the church, and I believe it is, we're going to go through some tribulations here on earth, not the great tribulations, but But I tell you what, God's people is going to go through some tribulation times. We're going to go through some birth times. And I want to tell you, I'm not no prophet, but you can mark it down by the word of God. Today you cannot tell out in the world who is saved and who is not saved. It is politically correct now to say, you know, I believe in God. As I said, you can have these frogs that sits upon our country, they say, and God bless, when they get through making a speech, whenever they just got through writing a letter about abortion. Or passing some law that's against Christ. And they say, God bless America. That's politically correct to say that. But there's coming a time, when there will be a separation. If you are a child of God, you're going to go through some suffering in this world. Oh, that's not good preaching. I'm going to tell you what, you don't like it. Habakkuk didn't like it either when God told him about it. They went through some suffering. We're going to go through some suffering. This is the beginning of the period of sorrow I do believe we're living in this day. We will not go through the great tribulation times, but we will see some national and we see some international sorrow coming into our country. Even today, you and I know there's some private tribulations that come to us personally. There's some sickness and heartaches and trouble and distress that comes to each and every one of us. And they also will be coming to our country. And sometimes whenever this comes, as we pray for our country, many times in our prayer room we pray for our national leaders and we pray for the United States. Oh, God would return it back. God, do something. Pray, God, that you might turn us back. And we pray that God might turn us back. And you need to keep praying for this. And yet, oh, back up, pray for this. Instead of seeing anything get better, everything began to get worse. Listen to me, what he says. Sometimes, you know, that we pray and we have sickness and we pray and don't seem like anything gets any better. In fact, it gets worse. Well, the devil will tell you then, if there is a God, he don't care. And if there is a God and he cares, he's too weak to do anything about it. That's what come to Habakkuk. Our nation, why, God, all these violence and all this injustice and all this suffering in our country and our world today that we're living in this day? Why, God, don't you do something in our land today? Why are you allowing the homosexual to strut up and down the streets of our country and our world today, proud of their sins? Why don't you do something about these group of people, God? Why don't you do something about this great leaders that we have in Washington, this for abortions, homosexuality, and anything else that Jesus Christ stand for, they stand against? Why in the world don't you do something, God, with all this problem we're having in our country today? And he says, I am doing something. Now Habakkuk opens up his newspaper and he begins to read. He turns on his television to Fox News and begins to see. He sees the war and the crime and the rape and the strife and the murder and the hunger and the pride upon his country as I see it upon our country this day we're living in. Where's God? Does he care or is he too weak to do anything about it? And then we come God's answer back to Habakkuk. And he asks him then the three questions of a mirror of America. The book begins with a gloom, but it ends with glory. As I hope that you understand it today, when you quit looking at our problems, and oh, Habakkuk quit looking at the problems, and he started looking at God. It's not what God's doing, it's all about God himself. The book of Habakkuk. As we see this, how now today, and it is for you today, how can we stay together while the world is coming apart? How can you stay together while the world is coming apart? At verse 1, the burning which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And that word there, burning, means a crushed heart, as many of us have, with a deep burning for our country and a deep burning for our own families and our grandkids. And they keep telling us, you know, that we keep borrowing and spending money and our kids and our great-grandkids cannot pay the debt back and they keep spending and they still throw money away because they want to bankrupt this country. God, are you doing something? Yes, I'm doing something. God is doing something today. We see this perplexing problem that he has there in verse 2. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry? I've been praying for this nation, and thou will not hear. Even cry out thee of violence, and they will not save. I see it all the time. I see it on the streets. Lord, Habakkuk says, and I've been crying out to you to do something about this problem. But you seem indifferent, Lord, that you just don't care what's happening, the problem in our land today. I'm going to pray about the United States, and it seems like to me there's no answer, and things get worse all the time. Verse 2, he says again, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou will not hear, even cry into a violence, and thou will not save? Well, we see things getting worse now, and he says in that verse 2, there's two cries. The first cry there is a cry, God, won't you help us? God, won't you help us in our country? God, we see these things that's happening, and this is not the country that I grew up in. This is not the place that we could open up our Bible and read in the time of school. And over the loudspeaker, they can have a word of prayer. And they can have the Ten Commandments on the walls. And then, you know, they go into the cafeteria and the lunchroom, and they would bow their heads and they'd say a prayer before they eat. It's not the country that I was raised in, Habakkuk said. This is not the country that I was raised in. Whenever you can't even have the Ten Commandments on the courthouse walls, they can't have them in the schools. And they have no Bibles in schools today. A lot of them won't even let the Gideons pass out Bibles anymore. God, I pray for our country. And I'm praying for our country. But yet he's praying, hearing that first cry, he's praying and asking him to help him. But then we see that second cry in that verse means a shout and a scream, Almighty God. He's crying out. Now he begins to holler out to Almighty God about the indifference we see. And how we know, and he knows. Habakkuk saw this in the vision that God showed him. He knew that his country could not keep going. Is they going away from God? He knew something was going to happen. He didn't know what. God, be merciful to us. I know something's going to happen. Don't do something to all this injustice that we're having today. And you and I know that this country cannot keep going away from God the way it's going. We know God is going to do something. We know what's going to happen. It's going to be worse all the time. Oh, we pray unto God. It's a cry out, a scream to God. God, help us. And then when he did, it just seemed like heaven is quiet. We see no movement upon our country. We see no revivals across our land. Why, we see no revivals in churches today. Man, if we was to call out for a five-night revival Monday through Friday, by the time Friday night come at this church, half the people would not even come back. Half the people won't come. You can call for revival, and if they ain't got nothing else to do, people might come if they don't have anything else to do. If they don't have no ball, no activity, no hunting, no fishing, no visiting, and if I feel like it, well, I might go down there to revival. And I'll sit on the pew, and that evangelist preacher comes, and I'll say, you bless me if you think you can. You just bless me if you think you can. I'm talking about most of our Baptist churches. Are we having a revival across our land? I doubt it. I know one thing, we could have a revival. I can have a revival. But are we having a revival? That's exactly what happened at the time of Nehemiah. And it seemed like God was so indifferent. Nothing was happening. Heaven was quiet. But God also seemed like he was just so inactive. He wasn't doing anything. Verses 3 and 4. Why do you show me iniquity and call me to hold grievance? Oh, he says there in verse 4. Therefore the law is slack. You know that means paralyzed. As I look out upon our country, I'm going to tell you what, our law is paralyzed this day. That's the same thing that happened in Nehemiah day, the war crime. You see, we got war victims that's trying to destroy this country, and we don't even have enough. A law is so slack, it's paralyzed, it can't even put them in the court and try them and put them to death as they ought to be. There were every one of them done been put to death. How many we have on our death row for 25 years after murdering 17 small kids about 9 years old, and they're still living today? And how it is, if you don't read them some rights or another after they murder seven people, and you don't read them the Miranda rights, they go free. I'm going to tell you what, our laws today is paralyzed. And there's no justice in our system today whatsoever. It's who has the most money and can twist the law enough. Nehemiah says, therefore the law is slack. It is paralyzed. Just read the news today. Judgment never goes forth in our country. It gets worse all the time. It gets worse, he says. At the time of Jeremiah said, he also prophesied at that very same time. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. Also, we have Nehemiah was too. Now in verse 8 of Jeremiah and 12, chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, they were ashamed when they had committed abomination. He says, they were ashamed when they had committed abomination. He says, no, they were not all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. It says, whenever they committed abomination, the sins of that country, it says they was not even ashamed of it. They was not ashamed. In fact, they was proud. The generation that we're living in today, we're unable to blush upon the things that used to make us blush. We are not ashamed of things. We are proud of our sins in our country, and we expect God to bless us of America today, and we are proud of our sins today. The homosexual today that's proud, it's politically correct to say, you know what, God made me that way. I can't help it. God never made a mess out of anybody. It's not God's fault. I want to tell you, we're proud of our sins. Yes, sirree. We're proud of our abortions today. We'll spend our tax dollars, and we have a president that signs it into law that's perfect all right to use the military hospitals to have abortions. Yes, sirree. That frog that sits on our country has killed a lot of unborn babies, whether you realize it or not. I'm going to tell you what, we are great people in our country, are we not? Did you see this past week where there was a college, I believe it was out in California, passing out porn magazines for Bibles. That is, if you have got a Bible and I'll give you a porn magazine, you give me this Bible in exchange for it. How far have we come from the Gideons passing out Bibles in schools and on campus today? Now we got a group of people that says, well, now we'll know what we'll do. We got these porn magazines, and we'll pass out these magazines, and we'll take up these Bibles. Oh, but they're proud of it. They're smiling. Yay, yay. Look what they're doing this day. Teenager today, as I was reading, especially teenager girl, so many of them is becoming now pregnant without being married. More teenagers now is being alcoholics in their teens. More people are living together today without shame. Expect the church to bless it. Expect the church to put their approval on someone's living together. Please, God, help us. Please, God, help us. Return us back to this great tranquility we have, and bring our country back where we have peace and good times. Please, God. Because we're a Christian nation. Then we see violence, burglaries, greed, rape, school shootings, drugs. We're number one in, we're number one nation in a lot of things. We're number one in abortions. We're number one in homosexuality. We're number one in greed. Yeah, we number one. Pray for America. God, he seems so indifferent. He seems like he just don't care. Well, God, you seem so inactive. I mean, you're not doing nothing. And it seems like it's so inconsistency of God to let this go on. Verses 5 and 6. Habakkuk, verses 5 and 6. Behold, ye among the heathens, and regard the wonders. Marvel, for I will work a work in your day, which you will not believe, though it be told you. It says, for lo, I shall raise up the Chaldeans, which is the Babylonians, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. Well, God says, I'm going to do something. It's going to be worse what you thought it was, Habakkuk. You won't believe it, even if I told you. And I believe if God will speak from heaven right now, and he's going to tell us what he's going to do to America, I do not believe that we would believe it. I do not believe that we would believe it. We Christians, the United States is going to have a great change. Habakkuk argues with God there in verse 12 and 13. Are thou from everlasting, O Lord, my God, the Holy One? We shall not die. You won't do this to us, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And, O Lord, mighty God, hast thou established them for corruption? Thou art a pure eye that cannot hold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when we wicked devour the man which is more righteous than he is? You're going to let this wicked nation, that's more wicked than we are, come against us? You think God might allow someone like China to come against this country, more wicked than we are? They bow down to Buddha. We are a Christian nation. You know what we do? We put on God. We trust on our money, God. And nothing else. You know what else we do, God? We sing, God bless America. That's what we do, God. We don't bow down to Buddha. Would you use China, God, to bring us to our knees? Or Russia? God, would you use a more evil nation? Well, God did in the time of Habakkuk. The most evilest nation upon the earth was the Babylonian Empire at that time. The most evilest nation upon the earth. God used that. And he says, you know, you can't look on evil. You can't look on. That's inconsistency of God to let a more evil nation bring us down. That's inconsistency. And God said, I told you wouldn't believe it. God said, I told you that you wouldn't believe it. United States today, we bad, but see, we're not as bad as the other bunch of you across the oceans, you see. Yes, sir. You see our money, and God, we trust on it. Yes, sir. We think that everything is going to be fine in our country. Oh, yeah. Oh, we got great confidence now in our White House. Some of you might have voted for this frog. I don't know. Don't make no difference to me. But we got confidence in our White House. We got confidence in our Congress. But I'm going to tell you, everything you think is going to be all right to the rapture, but God says it's not. God says it's not. And I want to tell you why it's not going to be that way. In this Bible that I hold is God speaking from heaven. And give us every answer we know of. And there's not one scripture, there's not one shred of evidence in the whole Word of God that America will be the superpower before we get ready to go into the tribulation. There's not one shred of evidence in this whole Bible that we're going to be this great super nation. No, we're coming down, folks, according to the Word of God. God says, I'm doing something. I'll let you have this frog that's sitting upon your throne. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to come down because you will no longer be the super nation. Already, they're asking for another world currency. The dollar is the world currency right now, and everything else hinges on. China and Russia has already asked for another world currency because our dollar is so weak. We're spending it. We print more. And you're going to see it fall with a fast pace in our country in the future. You see, you sound like a prophet. No, I'm just reading the Bible. This country will never be a superpower at the ends. We call it a Christian nation. But are we? The United States maybe has been cursed with so many blessings. Maybe we'll be blessed with some cursings and get it back right. There's no need for the church. People say, I don't need the church. I don't need God. I'll meet God out there somewhere in the fishing boat somewhere. Yeah, you can meet God everywhere, but are you? Now we're praying for our economy to upturn now. It might happen. You know, we might get better for a while. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what it's going to do, but we're so far away from God, I doubt it. The United States may go through a total disaster in our world. I do not know, in our country. It might bring us to our knees. Habakkuk didn't like this, and I don't like this, but it's truth. But he comes to chapter 2 with a proper perspective. Chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, I will stand upon my watch and sit upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Okay, God, I'm quit talking to you, and I'm going to start listening to you. That's a good sign, isn't it? In chapter 2, he starts listening to God now about the proper perspective. He stopped shouting and started listening to God. And we find out, we see now, he started relying on the Scriptures. That's what we need to do, start relying on the Scriptures. In verse 2, he says, "Now, and the Lord answered me and said," this is the Scriptures, "write the vision and make it plain upon tablets, that ye may run that readeth it." We need to start relying on the Scriptures. Well, what's going to happen to our country? We need to rely on the Scriptures. What God said is going to happen to our country. Rely on the revelation of God. He says, write it down and make it plain. Write it down, Habakkuk, and make it plain that I'm doing something, and you listen to me. In the year 2010, in Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, when this sermon is preached, it needs to be read, and that you might be able to run with it, with the message of the day that Jesus Christ is doing something to our country and doing something for our country. You may not like what it is, but he's doing something. Not just what God said 2,000 years ago, or more than this, it's about 3,000 years ago, but it's not what God said, it's what God is saying right now today, what he's saying. Verse 3, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." A rapture is going to come. Tribulation is going to come. It has not come yet. God says, "I have not moved upon the nation there of Israel, but I'm going to." Just because it hadn't come don't mean it's not coming. He says, "I'm going to move upon that nation." Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches over his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God, he says, Habakkuk. Have faith in God. Rely on the Scriptures. But then we find out he's talking to the sinners now. In verse 5, "Ye also, because thee transgressed by wine," now he's talking to the Babylonians, "he is poured man, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlarges his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gather unto him all nations, and heap unto him all people." Talk about the Babylonians coming against this nation now. He just took over Egypt in the history. Now he's coming against Israel at this time. God is not soft on sin. The Babylonians, he says, they're going to be also judged also. So what if a country comes against us, of Russia and China comes against us? God says they're going to be judged also. I hadn't winked at sin. I know everything, because he says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. Even the lost nations, they're going to do that same thing. God, I have a record of every sin of the nation, every sin for you and I today. And then, you know, Habakkuk, he has five woes. He has five woes in chapter 2. Five woes. It starts off there in verse 6 of chapter 2. "Woe to him that increase that which is not his." That's dishonesty that he's talking about. Stealing and dishonesty this day. I don't care how many contracts you sign or how many lawyers you go to, you're still not sure you're going to get what's yours. There's so much dishonesty today. "Woe to him that have this dishonesty." But 9, it says the greed that we have. "Woe to him that covetous and evil covetous of his house." Can't get enough. I don't care how much you got, you always want more. That's the problem with one of our country today now, is greed. I don't care if the CEO makes $50 million, next year they want to make $125 million. And it trickles down to even the worker there that works for the hour today. If you're making $10 an hour, next week he wants to make $50 an hour. They want to make $200 an hour. It's greed. We're never satisfied what God gives us. It's greed. And then he says in Habakkuk 2 and 12, "Woe to him that builds a tower with blood and establishes a city with iniquity." That's violence all across our land today. We have violence. And this says there in verse 15, we have the immorality. "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor's drink," immorality, "and putteth the bottle to him and maketh him drink also." You say there's nothing wrong with drinking. The Bible says they are. The Bible says they are. And then we have the idolatry also. No, not a Baptist people. No, not in the country of United States of America. We don't have no idols today. Yes, they bow down to Buddha in other countries, God. They bow down to Islamic in other countries today, but no, we wouldn't bow down to an idol over here in our country. We don't have idols today. Woe unto him that said to the wood, awake the dumb stone and arise, thou shalt teach. Behold, it laid over with gold and silver, and there's no breath at all in the midst of it. Idolatry today, anything between you and God that keeps you from the service of God and serving God is an idol no matter what it is. But if it's your job, your pleasures, your activities, your family, your house, no matter what it is, if it comes before serving Jesus Christ and him alone, it is an idol to you, and we bow down and worship him more than any other gods in any other country of the world. God, won't you heal this country? Oh, God, won't you heal this country? Oh, then he turns to the reign of the Savior. Verse 14, but one of these days it said that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord and the waters of the sea. That now we see the reign of the Savior. Yes, we're in trouble, but surely there's a God in heaven. Well, I see one of these days that Jesus Christ is going to reign, and there's nothing going to stop him from reigning. I'm going to tell you, all the world power is not going to stop Jesus Christ from reigning. Oh, boy, I'm going along today, preacher. You're going along. I won't come back tonight. Well, you might not come back anyway. I'm going to go on. He is proud, and then he went on to his praising. Profound praising, and I'll be through in just a minute. He says, you know, in verse 1 of chapter 3, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. Shilamoth, he says. And that means deep feeling, because God showed him what he's going to do. Now we find out Habakkuk with tears in his eyes, and his lips are trembling, his knees are shaking, because now he sees. The root of this revelation makes him praise that God's still on the throne. God is more important who God is than it is of what God's doing. Your ways are not my ways. My ways are higher than your ways. As high above the stars in heaven is my ways above your ways. We see the revelation of God's majesty in chapter 3, the rainbow of his mercy and God's might. Why don't people praise the Lord? I'm going to tell you why they don't praise the Lord. They don't know the Lord. They don't know the Lord. Praise the root of revelation, but also praise recognizing reality. And praise is also results in rejoicing. We see God in all of his glory. We see God in all of his majesty. God, why don't you do something? God says, I'm doing something. I'm bringing glory to my name of the United States of America. He's going to get the glory. We may go down worse than any depression this country has ever went through before. I don't know what we're going to do. But I'm going to tell you, God's working, and God's going to get the glory. And then I want you to read this thing. The praise results in rejoicing. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vineyards, the labor of the olive shall fall, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herds in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now it says, I don't care if the bank closes. Habakkuk says, I don't care if I'm out of job. I don't care if there's no food on Walmart shelves. He said, my standard of living may change, and yours might. But my life, it's not going to change. God controls it. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord of my salvation, because God's still on the throne. Man, I tell you, this helped me to know all the problems I see in the world, and God's already got them all under control. Your family, my family, whatever it might be, to come with a song for an invitation this hour. If they one here do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you the day ought to be the day. This message should help you more than any other message. But I'm going to tell you, it shows you that God has got things under control. In your life, in your family life, in our nation life, he's got things under control. Glory to the name of God. Jesus Christ. Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory this day. If he's called you to do something, you need to do it this day. You know exactly what God has called you to do. Maybe it's come down here and give your life to Jesus Christ that you're not saved. It might be that you're already saved and you know what you want to do. You want to rededicate your life. Whatever it might be, pray for your family or whatever it might be, you need to do exactly what Jesus Christ has called you to do. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. God, would you just revive us again? Would you save this nation? Would you revive this church? Would you revive me as we stand and sing?